Huh?
Ron.
Okay, excellent. All right, we are studying today on Tuesday, July 2nd, 2 days before the 4th of July, Independence Day, and a week from July 9th. Okay, we're going to begin with a word of prayer as we try to understand what is the true light and life of humans. Oh, gracious Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank thee for the opportunity to gathering together. And as we open your word, give us wisdom, guidance, and understanding that we might be able to perceive and understand what you would like to communicate to us in these last days. Help us, give us wisdom, give us inspiration and knowledge on high. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. So far we have been able to understand about Yeshua, the Messiah. Is that right? The question is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The question that should be asked is, what is the life it's talking about? In him was life. In who was life?
In Yeshua.
Okay, the word. That's right. In Yeshua the Messiah. Okay, what type of life was in him?
The light of
everlasting life.
I'm listening. Excuse me.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, Jabari, you were going to say something. Come on.
What happened on mute?
I was thinking the light of God, because God is the light in the darkness, you know. So because he was in Yeshua, his light shone through him, because everything shone through him, because he gave that mortal body completely to him.
Okay. Jabbar, are you going to say something?
No, I didn't. I was just listening along and reading. Didn't really have any thoughts yet.
Okay, good point. The life of the Messiah or the Word was only the thoughts of Elohim made audible, or the thoughts of Elohim being able to exist so that humans can understand him. That is correct. Okay, through the Word we have life and existence. And through understanding the Messiah's life example, he shows us how we can live and walk in the light, since he is the light of the world.
What page
so
are we on?
We have it real clearly.
Page 6. Thanks.
All right.
Okay, so right here we have clearly that he is the life and existence of everything that exists. And it was life, and the life was the light, not just of man, but the light, life of everything. The life of the Messiah shows us how to get the victory over every sin and temptation that comes to us. Is that clear?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, in the homework question, we were trying to address that. Okay, there's three components. How does each component, since there's three of you, each of you can give me one description of each component of how it helped the Messiah get the victory over every sin and temptation. Now, don't everybody speak at one time. Everybody does one, so there's three of them.
Since there are three components of how he got the victory over temptation.
And sin.
And sin. That's what you're saying. So you're asking for the three components from your three children.
That is correct. And what role did each component play?
Okay.
From the Holy Spirit, I only came up with one, and that was the word. At least that's what I was believing it to be. That was one of the questions itself.
Okay, so the word, what part did the word have to play for him to get the victory?
I mean, it processed his action.
Okay. All right. Okay, we got two more parts, components. Each one can describe one.
So,
one is word, that's gone already. Oh, there's two more left.
Okay, so the spirit, because, I mean, you said the spirit, well, the word is the thoughts of God, you know, made the thoughts made audible, and the spirit is being able to walk it out in day-to-day life. So, obviously, you know, the spirit was him being able to, you know, walk out what he was teaching in his mortal body. Is that what you're thinking?
Okay, that's a good point. Yep, that's sort of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Ayafe, I guess you're stuck with the last one.
Okay, which is?
That's what you're supposed to explain to me.
I'm not 100% sure. We got the word, we got the spirit.
Okay, help us.
The word, the spirit, and the brain.
The mind, I guess.
What's a better word for that? I mean,
yes, Yahweh.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, the one that, well, yeah, but go ahead, Nidri, how would that connect in then?
Yeah, the mind, being able to use your mind, power over matter. And to resist temptation mentally.
Okay. All right. So, jot this down, everyone. Obviously, I didn't explain it well last week, but, you know, it takes time to absorb it. Okay. We had Yeshua come in the flesh. Is that right? In him dwelt the Godhead bodily. We read that. So the Bible tells us that we should have the mind of the Messiah. All right? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You remember that text?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we have the mind, or when he had not his mind, now how did he allow not his mind to rule? He said that Yeshua's part was to yield his will to the Father. That was the catch. So the word's part is for him, because that's what he said, my will is to do the will of the Father that sent me. So if we yield our will to so he yielded his will to the Father. And then when he yielded his will to the Father was able to work through him. And then the Spirit was able to act out everything out. Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
Need me to say it again? Okay.
No.
Three components.
Yeah, go ahead.
Each one has a different role. One has the role of yielding his will. Since he was in sinful flesh, he would be tempted through the flesh. That's how he would be tempted. So now for him to get the victory over temptation for us, he can't do it on his own. He has, because he said, I can do nothing of myself. And you know me and you, we can do nothing of ourselves. We can't resist sin. We can't resist nothing. So for him to be like us, he said, okay, I will come in sinful flesh like them. I will be tempted like them, and I will have the same power they have, which is none. So the only way that I can heal the sick, raise the dead, speak the words, is by me yielding my will, my choice of my will over to the Father. So once I yield my will over to him, then it's no longer I that do it. It's obviously what? The mind. He has, you know, Yahweh has full control over him.
Yes.
Can y'all follow that?
Yes.
Yes.
And then he says that when you see me, you don't see me, you see the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, he had given up his will so that anything y'all saw that was being done by the will of the Father. And when they were healed and touched, the Spirit did the healing. Such that you can see that we need the same thing. We can't hear nobody. So he said, I can't come healing people. But he says we can't, but we have to yield everything over to him. And the only way to yield everything over to him was by us giving up our will, which was what this Yeshua did. He gave his will to the Father, yielded it over, such that, remember, the Spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, right? So if the sinful flesh is saying, hey, I want to sin, I want to continue in this, I want to do this, okay, we don't have the power to stop it. So he says he's going to yield up that power, and so he's going to allow the Spirit to get the victory, because the Spirit was against the flesh. So how does the Spirit get the victory over the flesh? One way, by the person yielding their will to the Father, to Yahweh, to Yeshua. As we yield our will to him, then at that point, the Spirit has full control over the body to get the victory for us. Is it making a little more sense? Now, this is the life that he had put in Adam and Eve, and he wanted to continue for all of us. But we know Adam and Eve sinned, so that didn't happen. So remember, when you go back to the questions that we'll talk about, those are the key points. Everybody has a role. Do y'all get the role of each one? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all dwelling in sinful flesh, getting victory over the sinful flesh so that we can have an example of how to live?
Yeah, that kind of.
Can I even explain it again?
The mind yielded his will.
Can I even explain it again?
The word brought his actions, and the Spirit controlled his actions. That's what I wrote down.
Okay, good point. Right. The Spirit has to war against the flesh. The flesh and the Spirit war. So depending on where you put your will, if you say, hey, I'm going to do you to do what I want to do, then you're yielding to what? The sinful flesh. And then that's why we sin. Now, if you say, well, oh, man, I don't want to do that. I want to give my will to the Father. I want Yahweh, take this. I want you to do this in me. I want you to do this. And then the Spirit says, oh, wow, you're giving it to me? Then the Spirit takes full control over the sinful flesh. Say, no, you can't come up. I'm in control now. He has yielded himself to me. I will now overpower the sinful flesh. And the only way that can be done is through the mind of the Father. The Father is the one that says, okay, this is how it will work. The Spirit works it out. The Son yields himself, our will, to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Does that make sense, everybody? Or, I mean, this is not the easiest thing to understand, but once you understand it, you got it.
True.
Okay. So, but remember, these are the questions I asked in homework number one because we covered it. But I knew it's not that simple, especially if you don't have a picture showing you. What I'm going to try to do, I'm going to try to draw y'all a picture next week. I have to do that this weekend. This week, I have to draw you a picture of what I just said. And that will help you a whole lot. I was shown this years ago, and I had to show it with people with pictures, and then they got it. I mean, that's what it took for me to get. I got it at that point, once I was able to pictorialize it. Okay?
Yeah,
but I think y'all got the concept now.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little better understanding.
Yeah, okay. That picture would be really helpful. Then we could kind of see it, you know, more than kind of picture
well,
it.
Well, what I'm going to do is break the man down into three different individuals. The mind will point to, the will will point to, and the flesh will point to. It's a whole study. So anyway, that's just the general, but that's the bottom line, okay? That's the bottom line. When all this is said and done, that's his whole purpose of creating humans, so that we could do what? Reflect Yahweh to the world, to the animals, to the universe. That's all he wanted. He just wanted us to be like him. That's it. And reflect him to the world. And he still wants that. He hasn't changed. He still created us for that purpose. But everybody has their own thing to do, so everybody misses the whole point. But that's the bottom line when it's all said and done. Okay? All right, now let's get back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Okay? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. How did the word become the express image of his person? What does that mean to you? Now, in the Greek, those words are expressed in a different wording. It says that he's become the realization of Yahweh's person. You get that? The express image of his person is that he became the realization of Yahweh's reality. That's how it says it in the Greek. If that helps you any. That helps me a little bit. Okay? Express image, that means he's totally reflecting him. So if you have an image, you look in the mirror, what do you see? Yourself, right?
Yeah.
And that's supposed to express you. Okay? So that's what Yahweh wanted. Yahweh wanted when people looked at us, he would see Yahweh, just like he's looking in a mirror. That was his whole purpose. So he needed Yeshua to come to earth to actually live out the life so that he, when they saw him, that's why he says, when you see me, you see the Father. Literally. He meant that. Anything that the Father would do, that's what I am doing because the Father is the one who's telling me what to do. And the Spirit is doing it. And I am yielding myself to him so that this can happen. And I become a bystander. That's why the greatest enemy that we have to fight is not Satan, is not Lucifer, is not his angels, but is guess who?
Us.
Ourselves. That's it. We are our greatest enemy because we're the ones who don't yield ourselves over to the will of the Father, not them. Has nothing to do with them. And the whole mystery was that Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's literally what that means. We'll go over that text another time. But that's all it's about. So it's the reality of Yahweh. We don't know what the reality of Yahweh is. We don't know what it means Yahweh is. But only the Son knew, and he's expressed it. And so that's what it means by the express image of his person, or he Yeshua is the existence of Yahweh, of this being that we have no clue of. He says, hey, I have to show you what it means. That's all. So some of these words are pretty heavy when it talks about, you know, the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty. The Bible makes a comparison to the Son being the Father and the Son, the Word, being the Son's brightness or rays, which humans and all living things need to exist every day. How much do we need the sunlight?
That's not even a real question. You need it.
It is a real question. Some people think they can do without it. People live underground, don't you know that? Miners and stuff, and they're trying to build cities underground. Okay, so they're not going to have the sun. So how much do you really need the sun?
You need it every day.
Yes.
piece of light.
Right. We don't even think about it. We don't think what the sun gives to us in every aspect of existence. We have no clue. But we know it grows the grass. We know it turns to greens. We know it heats us. We know it warms us. We know it cleans the air, the radio. So even when people are underground coal miners, and they'll find out that if they don't have enough sunlight, they have to sit under ultraviolet ray bulbs so that they can get sunlight or get the ultraviolet rays, which come from the sunlight. So they make up artificial lights. Remember in our house we used to run around and I used to have some ultraviolet light bulbs? I don't know if y'all remember those days. That's what I would have. You can get rickets if you're young and you don't get enough sunlight. That means your body, your bones will not harden. That means that they'll bend more and that, you know, you won't be able to, you know, a softening of the bones. So the sun, they even say that if people are depressed, give them a lot of sunlight or ultraviolet rays, and then they will, you know, some of them can come out of their depression. So the sun is a very powerful thing which we have no clue of how important it is to us until we don't have it. Okay, so that's the reason why I stopped there. Every living thing exists every day from the rays of the sun. We are told that we should not look directly into the sun because it might blind us. But at the same time, we need the sun's rays, its energy, so we and the earth can benefit from the power of the sun. The bright beams or rays of the sun shines on the earth, feeding vitality and energy into the plants. The plants convert the sun's energy to chlorophyll, so the plants can generate food for us, the animals, birds, fish, and all living things. So the brightness of the sun or the sun's rays is the energy or power which emanate from the Father through the Word, His Son, so we can live. Everybody understand that? Or has a comment on that paragraph?
Not really. You know, kind of self-explanatory, you know. We really do need the sun to live. People don't think about it like that. But we can't look at it. That's why we have the intercessor to look at him for us.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he came such that he can live in us, but he can't live in us directly. He has to live in us through the sun and the spirit protecting us from the overpowering rays of the power of the entire Godhead. And this is some deep stuff.
Yeah.
Through the Son or the Word, the Father expresses himself to us because the Bible tells us that no human can look at Yahweh and live. But through the Son, the Word, Yahweh expresses himself or communicates to us, and we can look on the Son or the Word or listen to the Son or the Word and still live. The Bible then says, he is the true light, which is the light of us and all things that exist. Do you think people understand this? Elohim makes many object lessons, parallels of the physical world with the spiritual world so that we can understand things, but we keep on missing it so many times. Another parable or parallel is we continue to live and sustain la health through eating or following his word of instruction, his life to us. Remember, the Bible tells us that humans do not live by bread only, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of Elohim. Luke 4:3-4. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Yeshua said unto him, and Yeshua answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread only, alone, but by every word of Elohim. So this was the first temptation that Satan gives to Yeshua when he starts his ministry. The test of appetite. That's one of the hardest things we have. Appetite. When Adam and Eve fell, it was because of what?
Appetite. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it like that before.
Mm-hmm. The last temptation to be given to humans is what?
Food? What?
Except you receive the mark of the beast you can't buy or sell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
And many people are going to give it up just for appetite. When they went into the wilderness and then the Exodus, what was their first temptation? Food. Yahweh tried to change their diet, and the first thing they said, listen, man, we want the flesh that we had in Egypt. Gave a manna to eat.
Yep, they got past the manna. They wanted quail.
Yeah.
There you go. Anything. That's right. Sound like us, don't it?
Yeah.
It's the same people, folks. Y'all ain't no different. It's the same people. This is our ancestors. Yes. So when we think about it, when Daniel and the three Hebrew companions, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, not their Babylonian name. Everybody knows about it. What was their first test?
It was food? I don't remember that.
Yeah, they were asked to eat the king's meat. Eat from the king's table, the delicacies of the king. And that's the delicacy of the slave master. When we left slavery, we were given the delicacies of what? Of the slave master. And that's what we eat today. And it's poison, and it's killing us. It was killing slave master, and we were surviving, and they're the only ones that had heart attacks, high blood pressure, diabetes, and all that. Africans that were working in the field never had those diseases until we started eating masters from the master's table. Or as they say, eating the Babylonian food of today. Yeah. That's what the three Hebrew worthies and Daniel were given 10 days. They give us 10 days, man, so we can test to see that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, I do remember that. Okay, you're right.
Mm-hmm. And they were young. They were like, some people believe they were, you know, in their teens, early teens, mid-teens, not late teens. And then they stayed on that diet for 3 years. And after they graduated, that they were 10 times smarter than their teachers and everybody else. And I don't know if y'all know, but your mom and I and Joyce and Sister Charlene Marks, the four of us did the same thing Daniel and them did, but we did it for 21-day cleanse program. We did that through our lives in undergrad, undergraduate school for us to get out. And we were, you know, literally graduated with honors. And that's all we did. We just followed the same thing. And it's amazing that there was four of us and it was four of them.
Yeah.
So we have the same struggle living in this Babylonian society, giving masters food. Or the Babylonian food. Yeah, y'all need to go back and read Daniel chapter 1. It'll tell you all that stuff.
Yeah, you're right. We do. I will.
Yeah, this is the exact place where you guys are. This was the exact place your mom and I, Joyce and Sister Charlene, were at. And we had to choose. And we chose not to eat of the master's table. We chose not to eat the Babylonian food. And when we graduated, we was able to graduate. Every last one of us graduated with honors. in our fields. And we did 21-day cleansing programs before our finals and our exams. I mean, we were deep into this stuff. And we were no younger than you guys. Matter of fact, we were younger than you guys. Because we were doing this at 20, and you guys are older than 20. So think about it. Remember, history is repeating itself. And this is the opportunity that you guys are given, just as I was given, and y'all are the third generation. Okay. Any questions about that before we move to the next paragraph?
No.
No.
Okay.
Hey, are you going to address that question?
When our eyes... Go ahead.
Are you going to address that question I sent you? Remember I sent you that email about that question that I had about what the pastor said at church on Sunday? Can we address that before we get off the phone today?
Okay, you remind me at the end, and then we'll
okay.
We'll get off the recording and we'll answer that.
Okay, cool.
Okay, no problem. When our eyes are not open spiritually and we are not mentally conscious, we will not see the things Yahweh wants to teach or share with us. In other words, we are in the darkness that surrounds us and blinds us, and we cannot comprehend, understand, or see what is really going on around us. John chapter 1, verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So we have to be awakened spiritually, mentally, and physically. And I guarantee you, when you go through them 10-day cleanse or whatever cleanses you guys could go through, like Daniel and Russell, you will find out for a surety your mind will be clearer, your spirituality walk will be clearer. You'll be able to understand things clearer. You'll be able to do more things. You'll be just shocked of the life that Yahweh has for you. Can the darkness understand the light? Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Are we the children of the day? Or are we so confused that we do not know we are in darkness? And we become the children of the night? 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 8. But the time and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not, what?
Leap.
Leap, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So he's letting us know that people are what? Asleep. He says that he don't need to write unto us. He said we should know what's going on, right? Let us be sober. Everybody else is drunk, sleeping, out of darkness. They have no clue what's going on. And you guys are looking at them and saying, why don't y'all understand what's going on? Can't y'all see what's going on? No, they can't. They don't even perceive it nor understand it, nor even desire to perceive it. Because how deep is the darkness that surrounds us? That we cannot see? So we are rocked to sleep. Wow. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. How deep is this darkness? Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. First, the darkness is so deep that it covers the whole world, like in Genesis chapter 1. It was and is so dark that Yahweh had to send his spirit to move upon the face of the deep with a darkness covered. Wow. So dark that it's that dark. So today, the whole world is in darkness and the people in gross darkness. Do you know what is gross darkness compared to just darkness? Some say if you were outside in the woods when the sun is set, you are in darkness. But gross darkness is when one is in a home which is on fire and the smoke rises up. When one puts his hand in front of his face, even it is touching his nose, they cannot see their hand. Now, that is what is called gross darkness, which the Bible says the people are in today. There is only one way out of this mess we find ourselves in today. We must be liberated in our minds, body, and soul. We must become conscious and awake out of sleep because our light is come and the glory of Yahweh will rise on thee.
Dad, you know, I just realized that you added 2 pages into your Bible study. So when I said we started John 1:6-7, it actually was on page 8. It was on page 6 last week. So I'm sorry.
I agree.
That's all right. And I agree, too. When I started reading it, I realized it.
Yeah, I'm like, I know we talked about this last week. I mean, I know I read it, but I thought maybe I was growing myself crazy. But I mean, it's okay. It's always good to go over things again, but I'm so sorry.
That's okay, because we needed to understand the light a little more clear. Hopefully, we understand the darkness that we're in. Now, how dark is the darkness that you guys think that we're in? Give us some comparisons to that.
Like real-life examples?
Yeah, something that's practical.
Like the people how they're like serial killers and stuff, and people kill people certain ways so that even though they're going to go to jail forever, so that they'll be remembered in history. Like people really think like that, and I think that's crazy, crazy darkness because people, you know, their minds aren't right. Their minds are just so messed up that they want to murder people and be famous for being a killer as opposed to being famous for healing people or helping people. You know what I mean? Or people kill themselves in certain ways so that people will remember it as a gruesome event and always, you know, think about it as opposed to, you know what I mean, people wanting to help people. People think like that now, which is crazy to me.
You're right. Good example. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of that one.
Well, you know, I read a lot of murder mystery books, so it's interesting to me.
All right, do a little while now, Yofi.
You know, there's somebody, not too long ago, we were just talking, and they were trying to explain to me, they were saying that people are brainwashed because people always want to be in the light when reality, what they really need to be is just in darkness, because in darkness you see everything more clearly. And the light is blinding, was their argument. And so, no, everybody wants to be in the light, but instead you need to just be in the darkness. And I mean, just the analogy when we talk about light and dark, does that, instead of making a case that, oh, yeah, you need to move toward the light, they're like, oh, no, the light's blinding, the light's not good, you know, if you sit in the darkness long enough, then you'll be able to see clearly and stuff like that.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
That's so ridiculous. That's so ridiculous. What do you mean you see things clearer in the dark? No, you don't, because it's dark.
No, they say, you know, it's you can really see what's going on. Yes, it's when your eyes adjust. When you finally sit there and you finally adjust, that's the same thing with kind of to a certain extent in light, in life, you know, you sit in the darkness and I don't know, just a dark and light analogy. We're always pushed to be in the light and someone making a totally different defense about preferring to be in the darkness because you really see everything more clearly and the light just obscures your view and you think you're seeing all these things that you're really not seeing in terms of color and everything, none of it's real.
Wow.
The light. The darkness, you can see what's really real because it's in the same exact color that it really would be.
They're cracking Jabari up. That's crazy.
All right, Jabari, what's your parallel there, buddy?
I don't know. I go back to something I learned back in humanities class where a teacher told us there's people in different countries and so forth that that have AIDS or whatnot, and they're of the belief that if they have sex with a virgin, they will lose their AIDS and or their HIV. And even though they'll contract them to the virgin, they will be free of their disease. And they've actually been going out and raping virgins in this belief that they will be healed from their sickness. And in reality, they're actually just spreading the disease even more rapidly.
Wow.
I've heard of that one. They do that to kids and everything, like infants.
Yes. Because unfortunately, well, I don't know, in different places, virgins come at a young age now. So, yeah, it's like you said, like girls in their teens or, you know, like not even teens, like preteens. So,
even babies. I heard the news like somebody's baby, like babies.
Huh. Yeah, that's insane. So that's a certain belief that's going around, and people have gone with it, and it shows that they really don't have any morals or care for anyone else. On top of that, they're only thinking about themselves, which is working to no avail, but in reality, that's how they look at it. And they're ruining other people's lives before they're even old enough to make any rational decisions about life.
Yes, wow. I mean, it's sickening out there. That is for sure. And people don't even realize what's going on. Oh, yes.
What's your
answer? Well, it's good to get some of y'all views, because as you hear different things, that's good to understand how y'all are interpreting some of the stuff that we're reading. Excellent. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. There was a man sent from Elohim, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. What light is the Bible talking about here? John was the person chosen to bear witness or tell people of the light. Are you given the same commission? Are y'all?
Yes.
Okay. In the last generation, Yahweh promised to send to the world people like John to prepare a people and to sound an alarm of what will and what is happening to his people. So that's what y'all been called to. That's what we've been called to. to awaken people out of sleep. John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Are we to let our light shine that people might know and believe that we are conscious and not asleep and not sound asleep like others? This is due to the fact that the Word has changed our lives and has given us a path to walk in His Word. This is different than traditional teachings of the churches today. John and the Messiah did not get the message taught by the churches or synagogues in their day. So it will be for us today. We will have a message that will awake people out of their sleep. Now, what school did John the Baptist and Yeshua go to?
No school that I know of.
Do y'all know?
Did they go to school?
Well, they didn't go to the church schools. How about that?
Yeah, definitely.
That was my point. A lot of people spend all their money sending their children to the church schools thinking they're going to get a better education. They don't. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Word made the world, and we did not know him. He came to his people, and we did not know him. But today, it is even worse because we do not know who we are. His people believe and have been taught by the Gentiles that they are the Gentiles or that we are the Gentiles. But we are not. The Hebrew Israelites found in the Bible can really be referred to as African Hebrew Israelites. Read the book, People of Color in the Bible, authored by William Gilbert. To get a better understanding of this,
hello?
European Gentiles. Now they teach us, his people, we, how have things become so confusing? Today we are taught by the churches that the European Jews are related to the people found in the Bible. But they are not the true Hebrew Israelites through the lineage of Abraham, Moses, King David, Solomon, and any other biblical character. Think about it. The Old Testament characters are not interacting or intermarrying with Europeans, but always interacting and intermarrying with Africans, referred to as Canaanites, Egyptians, Cushites, Ethiopians, and so on. Any questions about that aspect there?
So what do you say, that we shouldn't intermarry with other races? Saying that we should obviously marry, you know, with people that would agree with the religion-wise of what we're, you know, spirituality-wise?
No, I'm not. First of all, I'm not saying anything of who we should or should not marry. All I'm talking about in particular here is who did the Hebrews marry according to the Bible. That's all. This has no implication of how people should marry. It has nothing to do with that. This is just a historical facts.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a hidden message in there. I'm trying to get the message.
No hidden message in there. The hidden message is if the Hebrews never married at Europeans, how could there be such thing as European Jews? That's the question. And if the Hebrews are always only marrying Africans under different names, like Canaanites, Cushites, Ethiopians, and Egyptians, then what are they? Are they European Jews, as we've been told? Or are they African Hebrew Israelites, which we have never been told? You see the question?
Yeah.
It just has to do with a particular lineage of who's marrying who, because the Bible tells you this guy's marrying this guy, and came from this descent. So it breaks it on down. And in the Old Testament, you don't find the Hebrews interacting with the Europeans at all, period. But they can't marry him because they never met him. So that's all I was just saying. So I was just saying that we're duped on who are the people of the book. And who does the book belong to? Right?
Yeah, you're right.
And that's all I was trying to say. And that's what I've been saying. We are taught, the people who are the Hebrews are told that they're Gentiles. And the people who are Gentiles are told that they're European Jews. Who can buy that?
Yeah, it's all messed up.
Does that even make sense? But if you never read the Bible, you won't know. But you're just reading the Bible commentaries.
Yes.
Which they're telling you, yes, the European Jews, this is a white man's book, period. So it's interesting of what's going on and how we've been duped and how we're falling asleep, how we're in darkness and in gross darkness. And if we don't be careful, that's where we'll be forever. Is that right?
You're right.
Yep.
And so that's why I said earlier, we have to be conscious, mentally, physically, spiritually. And this is the age that y'all make those decisions. Because if you think you're going to change when you get older, it ain't going to never happen, because it just doesn't happen. Y'all have to do this at the age when y'all don't have to make so many decisions. This is the beginning of your life change, because the rest of your life will be governed by the decisions you make now. You might not think so, but it does. It will determine where you will live, how you will think, and who you will be with. Who you will hang around. Who's that? I mean, if I didn't go to college and I didn't go to Morgan, I wouldn't have never met Brother James. Never met the McKinneys. You see? We wouldn't have never had them in our lives. So the decisions you guys make at this age, when we were in college, these are long life family friends forever. The Momos. See what I'm saying? So you guys are going to make different things, and they're going to gear and help you one way or another in your lifestyle, depending on who you hang out with and how conscious you are and how much deeper are you going to be liberated from the things of this world. These are sobering thoughts for you guys as y'all, you know, develop and grow and make a life for yourselves. Okay, this will be where we stop, because we'll pick up on the next section, because we just finished one section. We'll pick up on the next section. Yahweh empowers us to become born of the Spirit. So somebody make a mental note or line it highlighted or something, so we can know where to come in, where we pick up.
I put that note
next week.
I got that written down already.
Okay, cool. Anybody have any questions or anything?
No, I don't think so. Not for me.
Comment?
Not pertaining to the Bible study.
Okay, good. So hopefully that'll help y'all answer some of the questions in the homework that we had. And then we'll send you another set of homework set too, to make it easier.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Someone offer up a prayer. Then we'll have Jabari cut off the taping.
Okay. All right, guys, I pray every week, so let's get somebody else in here.
Dear Father, thank you that we were able to have this discussion tonight, and thank you that we're all getting our minds clear and understanding your word better, and just continue to bless us this week and weeks to come as we continue to dig deep into your word and understand everything and process it. In your name I do pray, amen.
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 All right, it's Star 9.